What Really Happened radio show. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, April 10th, 2012 here. Getting into the week here. A lot of stuff to talk about. Phone lines are open. Number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And Dan, the man, is in the control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. We have got so much stuff to talk about. I'm going to start with the economy today. The stock market, as you're probably watching right now, is not doing very well right now, despite the best efforts of the plunge protection team and basically going on and saying, you know, it's been in the red, it's back down in the red. We're like 4 days of declines here. The total volume of the market has hit a four-year low, which everybody say, ooh, where's all the trading gone? Well, basically, the small traders are all gone. The small traders are all gone. They're out of there right now. They're realizing the market's being rigged, and they're just not going to play anymore. And so what's going on here is a couple of things. I presume that probably a lot of people are having to dump stocks to come up with tax payments for the end of the week. That may be part of it. But the other part of it, there was a story that happened last week that has not gotten a lot of coverage. Egan Jones, one of the credit rating agencies, downgraded the United States of America from AA plus to just AA and declared the outlook negative on its existing debt. Now, we're getting a story that the White House basically went to the corporate media and said, you know, you don't need to report on this. It's just going to worry those American people needlessly in this election year. And so it's not getting a lot of coverage. But the reality is the U.S. Economic status, credit worthiness, has taken another hit. And that may be discouraging people from playing around in the stock market. Certainly would discourage me if I had money to play in the stock market. But the fact that the overall volume has hit a four-year low basically tells us that the only people still playing in the market are the big brokerages who are playing with their high-speed computer trading systems to game the system to try and drive the numbers up, although obviously they're not able to do so right now. And so the Dow Jones Industrial Average really just, it's not a major part of the economy anymore, even though the president likes to wave it as a banner saying, oh, yeah, the Dow is up, therefore things are good. Doesn't work that way. Ben Bernanke has come out in his latest speech and admitted the economy is far from recovery. And I know that's not what Obama wants to hear in the middle of an election year, but that's the reality. We see it every single day. We walk around, we look at all those companies have gone out of business. I mean, entire buildings are shut down, boarded up, and chain link fenced. You know, use your own eyes. Use your own common sense. You look around, you see how bad things are. Especially in an election year, you can count on the official government report and the corporate media to try and make things look as positive as possible. But got to rely on your own good sense, your own eyes, your own analytical ability, your own logic. You are your own best analyst as to what is going on in this country. You're certainly better than the TV networks. And you got to learn to trust yourself. And say, this is what I see with my eyes. This is what I'm hearing from my friends and neighbors. Things are really, really, really bad. And they're getting worse. Now, you probably remember not too long ago, Obama was caught on microphone telling Putin after his next election, he'll have a lot more flexibility. Well, what does that mean? Well, as you know, Obama extended the various tax cuts and the payroll tax holiday to the end of the year in order to make things look good for his election. But now analysts are saying the only way he can keep the government running is that after he wins his second term, he's going to have to raise taxes by an estimated $5 trillion to make up the shortfall from all these giveaways that he'd been using to build support among the voters. So they're calling it Taxmageddon. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Heart Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're just now getting word that Rick Santorum has now officially suspended his campaign. Now, where he'll throw his support to, we do not know. But he's probably going to be sidling up next to Mr. Etch-a-Sketch and say, do you need a vice president? I'm kind of bland and non-controversial, which are the prime requirements for a vice president. I can outbland, Al Gore and all the rest of that stuff. So yeah, he's basically suspended his campaign. It's not quite the same thing as saying he's quit. Maybe if he suspends his campaign and he wins the Publisher's Clearinghouse, he might come back in. But that's the word as of right now. So I want to get back to talking about this situation. The Washington Post is basically saying, if you think taxes are bad right now, next year, after Obama wins his second term, which is pretty much a foregone conclusion now that Mitt Romney is the GOP candidate, they're talking about, the 2001 and 2003 Bush tax cuts are going to expire. There are going to be tax increases on investment income, tax increases on estate, and gift taxes. You can't even give somebody something anymore without the government taking a piece of the action. Increases into the income tax, the marriage penalty is going to come back. If you're married, you have to pay more in taxes than if you're just living together. The child credit is going to drop. taxes on the first $8,700 wages increases by 50%, that's going to hit the people who most need tax relief. People on minimum wage, people just getting by. Payroll taxes are going to go from 4.2% to 6.2%. Money, 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 money. What are they going to do with that money? Well, they're going to spend it on Wall Street. They're going to spend it on wars, and they're going to shovel it to Israel. They're going to keep on taking money from you as long as you put up with it. Speaking of Wall Street, as you're probably aware, not too long ago, Goldman Sachs got caught manipulating oil prices for profit. That's a big tacky no-no. And they got hit with something like, well, the article was in the British paper, £25,000 fine. That's spare change. That's their coffee money. And once again, the Wall Street firms get caught committing crimes that cost people millions, indeed billions of dollars, and it's a token fine. That's it. They get off scot-free again. That is fascism. We're hearing more and more argument coming out of the MF Global situation. There are two trustees involved. One is for the investment group, and one is for the depositors group, and they're arguing back and forth. But apparently, something like $717 million in customer money, not MF Global's money, but customers' money, was transferred over to MF Global itself, trying to stave off the final collapse. You're not supposed to do that. That's against the law. So once again, we see where the Wall Street firms that we're always told they're trustworthy, they're reliable. We must protect their reputation at all costs. We find out that what we're doing is protecting a bunch of people whose reputations don't deserve to be protected. Back in 2008, when the true scale of the mortgage-backed security fraud came out, the U.S. federal government made a decision to cover it all up, to protect everybody from prosecution, because we had to maintain that image of trustworthiness for the Wall Street bankers, and they are not deserving of it. And by covering it up and propping up their reputation and looting the American people to pay for the crimes of the bankers, the U.S. government is an accessory. They are criminally complicit in history's biggest financial swindle. Now, over in the Middle East, Iran is starting to turn down those valves to countries in Europe. Spain and Germany and Italy are next. This is basically reminding everybody, this is war is really about oil. It's not about nuclear weapons. It's not about nuclear technology. It's about oil. It's about whether the United States and Israel, which don't want to pay full market price for their oil, are going to go in and conquer it or not. And in response to these sanctions, to convince Iran to do as they are told by the United States, Iran turned around and said, well, if you don't want to buy our oil, we're not going to give it to you. And they're starting to cut off the shipments to countries in Europe. We know gas prices are going up. It's $4.50 a gallon for regular here in Hawaii. On Catalina Island off the coast of California, you hit a record of $7. And yes, getting it over from the mainland to Catalina runs up the price a little bit, but it tells you what's coming. It tells you how much you are going to suffer, how much you're going to have to be made to suffer to keep Israel happy that we're doing all that needs to be done regarding Iran. Now, even though toward the end of last week it started to look like the war in Iran had been pushed off till next year because it was a loser for Obama, I guess Netanyahu made a phone call and laid down the law. Because all of a sudden we're seeing the rhetoric cranking up again against Iran. We're seeing provocative actions. And the Enterprise, the USS Enterprise, the aircraft carrier, not the Starship, is now in the waters near Iran. Went through the Suez Canal out of the Mediterranean. It's now basically in the Persian Gulf. And my concern about the Enterprise is that it's going to take a major false flag to kick off this escalation of the war. Right now, World War III is kind of this low intensity, everybody pretending it's not a world war. But the war hawks want to kick it up into rock and roll, full tilt boogie, afterburners, kill them all, let God sort them out. And they need an incident to spark that. Now, because I live above Pearl Harbor, I look out my window every single day on the remains of the Arizona, which was the last big fraud that started a war. We know because of documents declassified in 1994 that Franklin Roosevelt deliberately provoked the Japanese into the attack on Pearl Harbor, knew it was coming, withheld that information from the Hawaii commanders so he could say after the fact, oh, it was a surprise attack. We had no idea they were coming. They had no reason. Those dastardly Japanese were often into the war. So we have the USS Enterprise as one of the oldest nuclear carriers in the fleet. In fact, I think it is the oldest nuclear carrier in the fleet. This is its last deployment. It's getting ready to go back to the United States to be decommissioned, which is going to be a very messy and expensive operation. The USS Enterprise has 8 nuclear reactors. It doesn't have the big ones that were developed for the later carriers. They took 8 of the standard nuclear reactors developed for Admiral Hyman Rickover's nuclear submarines. And it put 8 of those into the Enterprise. And they all have to be decommissioned and decontaminated and hauled off and dealt with as radioactive waste. It's very expensive. It's going to cost more to decommission the lower decks, the engine room area of the Enterprise, and clean it up in terms of its radiation issues than the scrap value of the Enterprise itself is going to be worth. So, I mean, just imagine how much money the U.S. Navy would save if something were to happen to the Enterprise and it sank in some other part of the world where the radiation is somebody else's issue to deal with, like water doesn't flow around all of the oceans. And so my concern is that the Enterprise has been sent into this area of combat not as a weapon platform but as a sacrificial lamb to be sunk by an Iranian missile, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. So the U.S. can say, remember the Enterprise, like they did remember the Maine, remember the Spanish-American War, remember the Maine, those gosh darn dastardly Spaniards destroyed the Maine. And it turned out that was a lie. The ship blew up because of a design default. Even the captain of the USS Maine said, no, there was no Spanish mine. And the newspaper said, well, obviously the captain's an incompetent if he cannot see the obvious. Went off into war. All wars are started with lies and deception. All wars, without exception. When a ruler decides he's going to invade a neighboring country and steal their goodies to balance his books and pay off the bankers, or simply to grab their land and say, your taxes come to me instead of the other people now, he has to lie his people into starting the war. Because most people don't want to go off to war. It's miserable, dirty, dangerous, ill-paid work. There's a good chance you're not going to come back home. And that's why we see lies that start wars. Torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. We were attacked first is the most classic lie to start a war. They've already attacked us. We must retaliate. Hitler did it at Gleiwitz. Johnson did it at the Gulf of Tonkin. McKinley did it in the Havana Harbor. And on and on and on and on and on. And I'm very concerned that the Enterprise, which is basically ready for the scrap heap, why is it being sent into such a hot war zone? Is it really still a capable fighting machine? Probably to some extent, but is it really more valuable as a sacrificial lamb to be blown up? And I'm very, very concerned about that. It makes much more sense that they want the Enterprise to be sunk over there to kick off the war than it's actually being an effective combatant. Apparently, NATO and the U.S. are already shipping weapons over to Israel over this planned Iran war. I guess it's back on again. And they don't even care if you think they got a valid reason for it or not. The attitude seems to be, we're going to have the war. We've worked for it. We want it. We deserved it. We will not be denied. And if you don't want to go along with it, well, tough. We're still going to take your kids anyway and take your money anyway, and there's nothing you can do about it. Seems to be the attitude coming out of the U.S. government right now. The U.S. Army is stocking up on anti-radiation pills, potassium iodide. And that signals one of two things. Either they are, in fact, planning to blow up or allow Israel to blow up Iran's civilian power station, or they already know they're going to be starting this world war with nuclear weapons. They don't want you to know it, though. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back. Join us on the air. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Global Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Sing a song of taxes, working class cancer sore, tea in Boston Harbor, and Revolutionary War, of giving to the rich and taking from the poor. Sing a song of taxes, let's even up the score. Sing a song of taxes.
All right, welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the apparent renewed push to convince you that war in Iran is an absolute necessity, or at least an inevitability, and you might as well just get used to the idea. And we're getting this report how the U.S. Army Medical Material Agency is buying a large quantity of anti-radiation pills, potassium iodide. And they're saying, well, it's in response to what we saw last year in Fukushima. Well, Fukushima's kind of over and done with. And yes, there are some reactors in the United States of America, like San Onofre and Vermont Yankee, that are in questionable condition right now and ought to be shut down. San Onofre is. Vermont Yankee is still running. But I think the real import here, we know that the United States ended World War II with nuclear weapons and remains the only nation to actually use nuclear weapons of mass destruction on other countries. We know that some of these so-called deep target bunker busters are nuclear tipped. And so it seems to me that the U.S. government is getting ready to use nuclear weapons in the tactical theater arena. And they've already war-gamed this. Some years ago, they had a series of nuclear tests in Nevada called Upshot Knothole, I believe it was, where they set off a bomb and then they said, okay, you soldiers, go in and exploit the breach we've just blown in the enemy lines. And by the way, here's a pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses to protect you from the radiation, which, of course, didn't work, and all those soldiers spent the rest of their lives dealing with cancers and leukemia, and the government said, it's not our fault. We had no idea. These things happen. So forth and so on. But if they're buying up all those radiation pills, then they're obviously expecting to do something that will release a large amount of radiation into the environment. Shades of on the beach here. By the way, speaking of radiation, I saw a story just before we went to airtime where they are now admitting that dental x-rays are linked to cancer. Ooh, gee, you think, boom, 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 constant x-ray, and is now linked to meningioma-type cancers. There is no safe level of radiation. You're rolling the dice every time you're exposed to the x-rays in your dental office, the x-rays in your doctor's office, the scanners at the airport. It's like those old shoe store fluoroscopes. It's just another disaster here. Now, getting back to the situation in Iran, if news reports are to be believed, Russia has come to understand it's time to draw a line in the sand to contain the Fourth Reich, meaning the U.S. government. And they are apparently pre-positioning in advance of an Israeli attack against Iran. One of the things that they're doing, they're moving troops and resources back down to the Russian-Georgia area. Remember, I said, if you look at a map, there are only two ways by which Russia can materially supply Iran by ground convoy. One is through Afghanistan, and the other is through that land bridge between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, right through Georgia and those tunnels in the Caucasus Mountains. So it appears that Russia, as soon as Israel attacks Iran, Russia is going to simply go in and grab that territory to secure their routes of communication. So they're getting really, really serious. And we're getting other reports that Russia is pre-positioning troops along, let's see, which border here? They're Armenia. They're putting, they're positioning troops and assets in Armenia in advance of the Israeli attack on Iran. So let me ask you all a question here. Do you want to go to war with Russia? I don't, for a couple of reasons. One, they've never done anything to me. I don't have an issue with Russia, certainly not in the post-Soviet Union days. They seem to be doing things right over there. When Putin paid off, after Putin came to power, he kicked out the oligarchs, kicked out the money junkies, and paid off Russia's national debt in 3 years. It's a shame we don't have that kind of wise leadership in this country. So I don't have a reason to dislike the Russians at all. I have a lot of reasons to admire their history and their art and their culture. And then, you know, Tchaikovsky is one of my favorite composers. That whole Mighty Five thing, for those of you who are music lovers. Another reason not to go to war with Russia is they actually do have nuclear weapons of mass destruction and the rockets to deliver them around the world. Why are we risking a global thermonuclear war that could potentially wipe out most of life on Earth just because Israel says, we want you to go get Iran for us, please, you got to get Iran for us? Speaking of whining and crying, Dan in the control room says Matthew Broderick will save us. How about a nice game of chess, Dan? Greetings, Dr. Falcon. Ben Stein over at CBS went out on a rant today screaming about a second Holocaust, that Iran are the new Nazis, that Iran is going to kill all the Jews, and reminding us all that we did absolutely nothing when Hitler said he was going to kill all the Jews. Well, I have an issue with that, Mr. Ben Stein. Even if we accept the orthodox number of 6 million Jews dead in the slave labor camps, mostly from typhus epidemics, that's still only 10% of all the losses of World War II. Do those other 90% not count? Are their deaths not worthy of note, Mr. Stein? When we come back, I'm gonna talk to Mr. Ben Stein about something called gratitude and remembering that it wasn't just Nazi Germany and the Jews in that major mess. A lot of other people got involved and got hurt. We'll be right back.
Because you can handle the truth. If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about this opinion that Ben Stein put out over on CBS. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, if you remember the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ben Stein played the teacher, you know, in the class, you know, Bueller, the guy with the glasses. And they had a show, Win Ben Stein's Money. And he's a very smart guy. So we cannot write off his comments to ignorance. They must be ascribed to arrogance and the purest kind of racism. And this is why. He goes on and on about how the Nazis rose up to destroy all the Jews in Europe, 6 million, blah, 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 blah. And then he ends with the line, this is a direct quote, basically the world did nothing to save them. Mr. Stein, does the name Normandy mean anything to you? How about the word Dresden? How about firebomb? How about invasion? How about Patton's Third Army? I guess to Ben Stein, all of that doesn't mean anything. It wasn't enough. It doesn't matter what you did for us. Doesn't matter what you did for CS. It wasn't enough. You should have done more. Really? Where's that written in stone? For 2,000 years, there is a certain population that seems to do nothing but alienate everybody around them with their greed and this "we're God's chosen people, so the rest of you get out of our way" attitude. And inevitably, it causes friction. And it has over the last 2,000 years. And every time they get into trouble, they say, help, help, you've got to come save us. And we did. The Allies, Britain, France, United States, all of these countries went in and did something to stop Adolf Hitler. He lost the war. We won it. But to Ben Stein, it's nothing. That's what he says. The world did nothing. So if you are a member of a family who lost somebody in World War II, and I lost my family, lost members in World War II, Ben Stein says, they're nothing. They're not worth anything at all. We shouldn't remember them. We shouldn't express any gratitude for their sacrifice. It doesn't really matter. It wasn't enough. It doesn't come up to Ben Stein's high standards for what the world owes to the Jewish people. Now, a couple of years ago, there was a movie, Jim Carrey movie, The Majestic. And it takes place in Hollywood in the 1950s in the blacklisting, and he gets amnesia, and he wakes up in this town called Lawson, California, and he sort of falls into this town. And it's this little tiny town, and he meets all these people who are still recovering from the losses of World War II. And I love that movie, not only because I know what it's like to be in Hollywood and have your career destroyed because you're not being politically correct, and also because I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire, very much like that town of Lawson, California in the movie, where every home in that town had lost somebody in World War II. And Memorial Day was a huge, huge commemoration every year. Major event. And you'd see all the little the medallions up there in the cemetery that stood there for people who had died in Europe and whose bodies presumably were still there someplace, never brought home. And so even though the U.S. government could declare victory in World War II for the small towns all across America, whether they're in New Hampshire or California or Nebraska or Ohio or North, South Dakota, Arizona, all those towns, they lost a great deal in that war. They lost husbands. They lost sons, brothers, nieces, nephews, wives. They lost the ability to prosper because a key person in their home who was part of their earning system went away. They suffered not only personal losses but financial losses. But to Ben Stein, this is nothing. You did nothing. Yes, you lost your father and your husband or your brother or your fiance. That's nothing. Wasn't enough. Wasn't enough at all. You know, you have to prove yourself worthy of us by going out and murdering Iran. And I also take umbrage with Ben Stein or anybody like him trying to cast Iran as the new Nazi power. And let's go back by looking at what the Nazis did. Well, they lied about other countries being a threat to them, like Poland. They staged fake attacks to justify invasion and war. They had a persecuted religious minority on whom all the problems of society were being blamed. They had concentration camps and they had torture. Does that sound like Iran or does it sound like somebody a little bit closer to home? Ben Stein goes around screaming that Iran is the new Nazi empire. He is completely 180 degrees out of phase with reality. It's not Iran that has lied about other countries being a threat in order to justify invasion. It's Israel and the United States of America. And regardless of what you think about the historical record of World War II, for Ben Stein to basically dismiss the sacrifice of millions of Americans, millions of Frenchmen, millions of British, millions of the Allies as nothing, bespeaks an ingratitude that is epic in its scale. And so, Mr. Ben Stein, screw you for your ingratitude. The next time the Jews get themselves into hot water, and they will, because they've been doing it for 2,000 years, we're not going to help you out at all. We're going to stay home, and we're going to save the lives of our husbands and our brothers and our sisters and our wives and our nieces and nephews. We're not going to waste them one more time on saving the Jews again, only to have a future Ben Stein turn around and say, it's nothing what you did. We shouldn't be sending billions of dollars to Israel. They should be sending billions of dollars to us for what we did in World War II to stop Adolf Hitler. And I'm getting sick and tired of all this whining that however much we do for Israel, it's not enough. You owe us more. No, we don't. We don't owe Israel a single thing. They owe us more than could ever reasonably be repaid. I used to have a lot of respect for Ben Stein, but not anymore. Not for this kind of whining. Speaking of whining, and just because it's a continuing thing, the New York City Friends Seminary High School organized a trip to take students to Palestine and Israel to basically tour around the West Bank and just see what was going on. And, of course, ADL and Alan Dershowitz are screaming that they took the kids to the wrong places. You can't take them to see the Palestinians. You can't see them to take them to see where we bombed them during Cast Lead. You've got to take them to the Museum of the Holocaust. You've got to take them over here. You have to show them our suffering. Don't show them other people's suffering. That doesn't count. Ben Stein says it's nothing. And it's just this constant whining that the world has to arrange itself to see the world only from a specific point of view. And that's not democracy. That's tyranny and dictatorship when you're said you will only see the world through one point of view. You will believe only one set of circumstances. Remember we talked about yesterday this article in Haaretz where a historian says even though it appears the Exodus didn't actually happen, it's not historically supported. The archaeological evidence is that it happened to a completely different people, and the writers of the Torah simply copied the story, which was accepted practice back then. You know, that's why the Epic of Gilgamesh got copied for much of the Old Testament. It was normal behavior back then. It wasn't considered a crime back then. But that's what happened. But this historian writing in Haaretz says, even though the Exodus didn't actually happen, it's such an important belief for our national identity that we need to go on celebrating it. In other words, yeah, it's a lie, but it's a lie that works for us, so we're going to keep on going to that. Over here in the United States of America, a couple of congressmen have sent a letter to Abbas complaining that they're giving an award to Helen Thomas. This is the Abbas in Palestine, not the one in Syria. And they're basically saying that by giving this medal to Helen Thomas for her years and years of objective reporting on the Middle East, that it might threaten U.S. financial assistance to the Palestinian Authority. In other words, you will only like the people Israel tells you to like. You'll only give awards to the people Israel says it's okay to give awards to. And by doing this stunt, these two congressmen have basically undermined the credibility of virtually every award given out in the United States of America. Because it's clearly filtered from a specific group's point of view. And we live in a time when a lot of the awards we thought actually meant something are basically just, they've proven to be decorations or wearable esteem. They're not bestowed for merit or accomplishment, but they're placed on people to tell the population, you should listen to this person because they've got the gold decoration. Don't listen to these other people over here. They don't have money. They don't have fine clothes. They don't have expensive watches. They don't have studio lights and fine cameras. So don't pay attention to what they're saying. Pay attention to the people that we put these decorations on. It's instant wearable esteem. That's how Barack Obama gets a Nobel Peace Prize before he's even done anything at all. That's how Al Gore gets a Nobel Peace Prize for what turns out to be one of the greatest climate hoaxes of all time. The awards are given to fool you into believing certain people when you really shouldn't be. Meanwhile, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, on his first trip to Israel, is out there screaming that Ahmadinejad is the craziest man in the world. We must bring him down. We can't allow Iran to influence the region. That's Israel's job, after all. Basically, what Chris Christie is saying, can I be vice president? Oh, please, can I be vice president? Pretty please, huh? Please let me be the vice president. That's what he's saying. That's why he's over there in Israel screaming about Iran. It's not like Iran's actually going to invade or attack New Jersey. It's just not happening. He's over there campaigning to be vice president by promising that he will continue the policy of sending your sons and your daughters to die in more of Israel's wars. That's what he's doing. That's the promise he's making over there. Now, late last night, we got this story where Syria is trying to basically deal with this insurrection, this coup d'etat, these hired mercenaries, and basically saying as of today, there's supposed to be a ceasefire. And the coup plotters are trying to keep the violence going. And we get this story where Turkey comes out and says the Syrian peace initiative is dead because Syrian troops started shooting across the border into Turkey and Lebanon. Okay? Now, the first thing I noticed about this story is that commenting was turned off. Nobody was allowed to comment. And I know why. And probably so do you if you think about it for a minute. With all the hired mercenaries and agent provocateurs and troublemakers that have been sent into Syria to try and create a public uprising that can be exploited to justify another invasion, how does anybody know who did the shooting? I mean, are the shells signed with Love and Kisses Bashi as they rain down on Turkey and Lebanon? Why would Syria start shooting at Lebanon and Turkey at all? Don't they need their ammunition to fight against the insurrection? The story doesn't make any sense. Somebody inside Syria working for Israel or the United States fired a few shells across the border. Oh, the Syrian peace deal is dead. Look how terrible. It's classic false flag. They're not even trying to be subtle anymore. They're just relying on all those people who are mind slaves to the corporate media to simply go along and say, yes, up is down, black is white, left is right. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, warming is cooling. They're just trying to really ramp up this war. The problem is, we're going to lose this. The United States cannot win these wars they're getting into. The money junkies don't care. They make money regardless of who wins or loses. Israel doesn't care. If the U.S. is destroyed in this coming war, they'll just hop onto another host and parasitize on them for the next generation. They're already doing it up in Canada. Over in the United Arab Emirates, they have detained a number of foreign NGO workers, NGO being a non-governmental organization. It is starting to emerge that all of these so-called charities, these non-governmental organizations, appear to be fronts for intelligence agents. And they're starting to get busted. Apparently, Iran is now saying they just grabbed an Israeli-backed terrorist group that was planning attacks inside Iran as part of the run-up to the eventual invasion. We're going to take a phone call. Werner in New Brunswick. Aloha, Werner. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Oh, I just was listening there, and you always talk a bit about the Nazis. But I've been doing lately some studying in the original archives and so on. I get to the impression that by the end of the 20s and early the 30s of last century, Germany was dying, especially from the consequences of the Versailles Treaty and from the degenerative influences that whereby a group of intellectuals and were being spread among the population. They were degenerating the population. And in regard to Poland and Czechoslovakia, what happened there, the Western territories had been taken away from Germany. They were German territory, but in the Versailles Treaty, they were being given to Poland. And what brought on the attack on Poland was the killing, the malicious killing of many German people, the same way in Czechoslovakia. And Hitler had warned the head of states of both countries, you know, to protect the population. And they wouldn't listen.
Well, I understand there was border friction and border tension. I understand that the Treaty of Versailles was quite punitive against Germany. They had a private central bank imposed on that led to the runaway inflation we saw under the Weimar Republic. We know that originally the Nazis turned that all around and started rebuilding Germany's industrial might. And it was at that point you had people like Winston Churchill saying, we've got to have another war against Germany or we're not going to be able to compete against them in manufacturing. And then you had the banker boycott of 1933, I think it was, that tried to destroy Germany's new economy. How dare they get rich and prosperous without a private central bank? And there were a lot of factors that led up to it. But there is absolutely no question that Hitler used the hoax at the Gleiwitz radio station to galvanize public support.
This is what I understood. It was staged because they just plain wouldn't take it anymore. The same way with the enclave of Gdansk, what I was reading about.
Yes.
There was a train track going through there, and when the curtains went in front of the train windows, then the train would be fired upon from the surrounding countryside.
Okay, well, those are acts of terrorism and destabilization like we're seeing inside Syria right now. And again, that's another indication they're getting ready to really ramp up World War III to all of our detriment. Werner, I got to let you go for some commercials. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Well, I got the Sunday won't pass. This economy's in a mess. Seems like every local company's singing the theme from Exodus. Maybe a recruiter could figure out how it qualify as an army of one.
Oh, yeah, at 36, sure, that's gonna work.
Just another disgruntled executive with a gun. I've got.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And over the break, I got an email responding to Mr. Ben Stein. and makes a couple of good points. I'm going to read it to you. First of all, the quote from Ben Stein. About 75 years ago, enemies of the Jewish people rose up in the form of the Nazis in Europe, and their many eager helpers from France to Russia. They basically wiped out the Jews of Europe, a staggering 6 million women and children. That was roughly half of the Jews on Earth. Basically, the world did nothing to save them, end quote. And the response from the letter writer is, so why didn't the Jewish leaders do something to save their own people? Why did they leave this responsibility up to others? Good point. You know, where is the tablet carved on by God that says the rest of the world is supposed to look out for the Jewish people? And then the letter writer continues, and Mr. Stein, it has been repeatedly proven it was not 6 million people. And as you yourself have noted, that was 75 years ago. You were born in November 1944. All of this happened before you were even born. What have you done during your lifetime besides kvetching about an event about which you have no personal experience to create world peace for all peoples? Obviously, the answer is nothing. He's urging war. He's trying to sell you a war. He's saying, we'll let you off the hook for the guilt for the Holocaust if you'll kill the Iranians for us. I don't feel guilty about the Holocaust. I wasn't alive when it happened. It happened in another country, in another time. The people who did it are all dead. The government that supposedly was behind it were all dead. We know that many of the claims made about the Nazis turned out to be complete fabrications. The lampshades, the soap. The idea that there was a deliberate extermination targeting only the Jewish people does not appear anywhere in the biographies, the autobiographies written by Winston Churchill, Eisenhower, or Truman. It's not there. So why did all of a sudden this become the only story of World War II anybody is supposed to ever pay attention to? And remember, one of my uncles helped liberate one of those camps. And when I was a kid, he used to tell me all the time, don't believe what they're telling you in school. It was a labor camp. They took the prisoners and they put them to work making stuff for the army. It's the same thing we have in the United States right now with the prison industries situation. It's basically imprisoned slave labor. That's what they were doing. And we know that the camps were ravaged by typhus epidemics time and time again. So why did the story get spun around that it was a deliberate extermination program? Well, it's very, very simple. At the end of World War II, the entire world had united against Nazi Germany on the principle that one country, one group of people does not have a right to simply march into another country and take it for their own use. And yet, that is exactly what the founders of Israel wanted to do to Palestine. And so they needed a public relations tool, a lie, a fraud, a hoax, so powerful and overwhelming that the same people who had said we cannot allow Hitler to take France for his own use would turn around and say, yeah, I guess we got to let Israel take Palestine. That's why this story was spun the way it was and why they protect it to this very day. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.